بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Umdatul Ahkam on this night, the night of Saturday, the 10th of Jamad al-Akhir, Jamad al-2nd, corresponding to the 16th of July 2005. And this is a totally new chapter under the heading of purification, under the heading of Tahara, purification. And it is entitled Babu Dukhul al-Khala wal-Istitaba, chapter on the entrance, the etiquettes of entrance to the Khala, meaning the place where the person goes to respond for the call of nature, and the sanitation and the purification related to that. First of all, the meaning of khala. Al-khala means al-makan ul-khali, the empty place or empty space. And what is intended here is the place prepared to respond to the call of nature from urine or and or defecation. And the istitaba, meaning seeking a tayyib, and what is intended here is sanitation, purification of the private parts from the remains of urine or feces, using stone or water or the like. And the Islamic, it is to be known that the Islamic Sharia, the Islamic revelation, and all praise is due to Allah, كَامِلَةٌ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ وَالْمُعَامَلَاتِ وَالْآدَابِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ, is perfect in worships and in transactions and in behaviors and manners. Nothing that benefits, people except that the Sharia makes it clear and makes it also attractive, and nothing that harms them except that also the Sharia makes it clear and warns against it. And it is reported in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Salman al-Farisi, may Allah be pleased with him, that the mushriks told him once, قَدْ عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ, your prophet taught you everything, even the manners of responding to the call of nature. So Salman said, yes, he taught us not to face the Qibla towards Mecca while defecating or urinating, or that we use the right hand to clean the place, or that we use less than 3 stones, or that we use dung or bones. Nothing from this he permitted, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this tells how the Sharia takes care of everything which is beneficial to man, beneficial in the sense that if it brings benefit, and beneficial in the sense that it wards harm. So now to the first hadith under the title of responding to the call of nature, and this, in accordance with the series of the narrations, this takes number 11. And the hadith is as follows. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا دخل الخلاء قال اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Anas bin Malik narrated, Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, whenever he went to answer the call of nature, entering this place prepared for that, except that he would say, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from الخبث. الخبث, as it's pronounced now by me, الخبث with the ba, with the letter ba taking a dhamma, as you can hear me, الخبث. This means the male shayateen, the male shayateen of jinn. And الخبائث refers to the female of them. And this hadith came in another narration reading الخبث with سكون, no movement on the letter باء. So الخبث والخبائث, and الخبث means evil, all forms of evil. And الخبائث, the evil ones. And this narration is more comprehensive. So we seek refuge, I seek refuge with you from all offensive and wicked things, evil deeds and evil ones and spirits. طيب, الراوي, the narrator of this hadith. The narrator is Anas bin Malik ibn al-Nudr, Abu Hamza al-Ansari al-Khazraji, may Allah be pleased with him. Umm Sulaym, may Allah be pleased with her, brought him when he was 10 years of age, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, هذا أنس غلام يخدمك. This is Anas, a boy to serve you. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام accepted him. And he invoked Allah for him. And he said, اللهم أكثر ماله وولده وأدخله الجنة. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him abundant wealth and abundant children and admit him to paradise. Anas said, فرأيت اثنتين, and I hope for the third one. I saw two, meaning manifested from the dua of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and I hope the third one, which is paradise. As to the two which he saw, that he buried other than his grandchildren, he buried 125, and his land used to be cultivated twice in the year, giving produce twice, and this is abundant wealth. And he remained as a servant to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for 10 years, until the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام died. And he stayed after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in Medina. Then afterwards he moved to Basra in Iraq, and he died there in Basra the year 93 after Hijrah. Second, what is the subject of this hadith? موضوع الحديث. The subject is what is to be said upon or before entrance into the al-khala, into the toilet, the bathroom, the open door where people may do or respond to the call of nature. So, if the person intends to enter this place and approaches it, the place prepared for responding to the call of nature, which is called al-khala, we should know this term, al-khala, what it means now. Then he should say, Allahumma, meaning, Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you, and this is an invocation, meaning, protect me, save me from al-khubuth. Al-khubuth, as you hear me pronouncing it, al-khubuth are dhukran al-shayateen, the male of shayateen. And the khaba'ith, the plural of khabitha, and they are the female of shayateen. So he sought refuge from the male and female of shayateen. And it is said also, Allahumma inna a'udhu bika min al-khubthi, making no movement on the letter ba, al-khubth. and this means evil. Wal-khaba'ith, the evil ones. So, as if he sought refuge from the evil and its people and the evildoers. The overall explanation of this hadith. The places prepared to respond for the call of nature are evil ones, because they house the shayateen, or the shayateen are present in them. Because the shayateen are evil, and therefore they like evil places. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 26, وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ. Bad statements are for bad people, or bad people, or bad women for bad men, and bad people for bad statements, or bad men for bad women. Good statements are for good people, or good women for good men, and good people for good statements, or good men for good women. So, therefore, it is fitting that the person seeks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he intends to enter these places, because these places are places for the existence or a presence of the shayateen, male and female, or the presence of evil and the evil things. And here Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, relates from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that whenever he intended to enter these places, except that he would resort to Allah in dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith, or min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-khubuth and al-khaba'ith. The benefits of this hadith. The comprehensibility of Sharia covering all etiquettes that are beneficial. The comprehensibility of Sharia covering all etiquettes that are beneficial. Second, the allowability or permissibility to make the dua upon or when one intends to enter these places by saying this dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi or al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. It is not sufficient to say this in one's heart. It is not sufficient for this to be said in one's heart. Rather, it is to be uttered. And this is to be uttered when the person is about to enter the bathroom, meaning before he actually enters the toilet or the bathroom. But if he is in an open place, then he says the dua with the last step before he or she intends to sit, if he is in the open space. Then he would say the dua with the last step if he or she intends to sit. The third benefit, that all mankind, all creation, are in need of Allah in order to ward off harm from that which may harm them. The next benefit, the shayateen can have their works on the children of Adam. The shayateen can have their works on the children of Adam, either influencing the bodies physically or mentally affecting their thoughts and their determinations. And the evidences is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 268, Allah ta'ala, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan threatens you with poverty and orders you to commit فحشاء, all forms of sins, including illegal sexual intercourse. The second evidence is in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 83. قال الله تعالى ألم ترى أن أنزلنا الشياطين على الكافرين تأزهم أزا. See you not that we have sent the shayateen against the disbelievers to push them to do evil. As to their physical works on the children of Adam, they may enter the body of those whom they intend to harm. Listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people who deal with usury, the people who do deal with usury, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:275. قال الله تعالى الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. Those who eat riba, deal with usury, will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. And there is a story which Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, told about his sheikh, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala. A man was overtaken by a female jinniya. She entered his body. And this man once came to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So Shaykh al-Islam admonished her and told her to leave his body. قَالَ لَهَا أُخْرُجِي. Leave his body. She said, I will not leave him because I love him. Shaykh al-Islam responded, but he does not love you. Then he told her, get out, leave him. She said, I will not get out because I would like to go with him for Hajj, take him to Hajj to do the pilgrimage. Shaykh al-Islam responded, هو لا يريد أن يحج معك. He doesn't want to make Hajj with you. Then she said, إذا أخرج كرامة للشيخ. Therefore, I would leave him as an honor for you, for the Shaykh himself, for Shaykh al-Islam. He, رحمه الله, responded, قال أخرجي طاعة لله. Leave him in obedience to Allah, as obedience to Allah. Why? Because the Shaykh rahimahullah feared that after his death, meaning the Shaykh al-Islam himself, that she may return to him. This was related by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim about the Shaykh rahimahullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard us from the shayateen and from the evil and the evil doers. This brings the explanation of this hadith, and the questions on this hadith are now as follows. Number one, who is Anas bin Malik? First question, who is Anas bin Malik? Second, what is the meaning of khubuth? What is the meaning of khubuth? Third question, why why do we call the place prepared to respond for the call of nature, we call it Al-Khala. What is the meaning of Al-Khala? والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.